The following is a lecture entitled Mind, Body and Soul, Dovetailed with the Supreme, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 3rd, 2014, in London, England.
There's actually another dimension beyond what we can experience with our gross senses. In other words, reality is not unidimensional, it's bidimensional. As long as we remain on the platform of our gross senses, we're missing out on a lot of nectar. There's actually a whole realm of unlimited nectar if one can learn to connect with that transcendental platform, that other dimension. So, through the science of mantra, it's a Sanskrit word. Man means mind, and tra means the liver. Through the science, the ancient science of mantra, you can actually transcend the material plane and become fully established on the spiritual plane. And one may think, well, then how would I work a job? I mean, how would I function? The beauty of it is this. This material plane is an expansion of the, or an extension of the spiritual plane. In other words, the material plane is rooted in the spiritual plane. So when you connect with the spiritual plane, you become even better established on the material plane. Because the material plane is based on the spiritual plane. So when you become solidly situated in the spiritual plane, it's like you have 2 feet on the ground instead of one. Being in the material plane is trying to hop along on 1 foot. And when you have both planes, then you're walking on 2 feet, and you can really do things very powerfully and successfully and artistically, beautifully, wonderfully, when you get yourself situated on the spiritual plane. So mantra chanting, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. The mantra is not of this material world. It's not a material sound vibration. It's coming from the topmost abode of the spiritual plane called Goloka Vrindavan. So the mantra has the power to transform our consciousness. So we'll do a little mantra chanting.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Hare.
Safe landing. That's actually literal, because this is called Mantra Vimana. This is much better than Heathrow. It doesn't pollute the atmosphere. This purifies the atmosphere. This airplane, mantra, in Sanskrit it's called Mantra Vimana, mantra airplane. So airplanes are nothing new. It's not that Wilbur and Orville Wright invented the airplane. They're there in the Sanskrit language, Vimana. The ancient Sanskrit language, Vimana, is there. So there were even material airplanes that were in the ancient times. But this airplane, this is better than any material airplane. A material airplane, a material spaceship, may carry you with a certain distance within this universe. But they cannot penetrate through the coverings of the universe. The scientists don't even know about the coverings yet. They haven't gotten that far with their investigation. They're actually coverings of the universe. And they're impenetrable by any material means. You can't blast your way through them. They're too thick. But this mantra vimana, this sound vibration, transcendental sound vibration, is more powerful than an atomic bomb, because it can easily penetrate through the coverings of the universe and take you into the transcendental dimension beyond this material existence. That's the beauty of this chanting. And chanting is enchanting. That's why the two words are connected etymologically, chanting and enchanting. You see, chanting is enchanting. And the more you become enchanted with the chanting, the less you become enchanted with the world of illusion in which we find ourselves at the present time. The present moment, we're completely enchanted by Maya or illusion. You see, and because of that enchantment with Maya or illusion, we're in a state of confusion, great confusion. We actually think that we're these bodies. We're thinking, I'm black, I'm white. Just like in the U.S. right now, there's a whole uproar going on between blacks and whites, rioting, and pillaging, trashing whole blocks of businesses with fire. Just because people are thinking, I'm white and I'm black, you see. So this is ignorance. The self has nothing to do with the material body except to use it for some temporary period of time for a specific purpose. That's all. It's like you buy a car for a certain time, you use it until it wears out, then you get a new car, you see. So this body is just a vehicle or a garment, just like you wear a garment for a certain period of time. So it is due only to gross, or I would say, misidentification with this gross body that we're in any kind of suffering condition whatsoever in our lives. Simply due to misidentification with this gross matter. We come into this body as an infant, we come into this little body, and that body goes through so many changes. These chemicals are always changing every second. Just like in the River Thames, what is Thames today is the English Channel tomorrow, the same water molecules, you see. So what I call my body today, tomorrow it's something else. It's not me, you see. It's just like the water molecules are flowing to the River Thames riverbed. Similarly, there's so many chemicals clustering around the Atman, which is the spiritual beings within. And those are constantly flowing by. They're in, coming in and out. Every moment, the old blood corpuscles are dying, and new blood corpuscles are taking their place. There's a constant flux on the material plane of your body. It's not the same. I'm exhaling, you're inhaling. We're switching molecules as we sit in this room, actually. We're switching molecules with each other. So that's not us. You have a constant sense of identity, which goes back to your childhood memories even. We have memories as little children, we were doing this and that. So that constant self, that's the spiritual self. And the temporary, ever-changing self, that's the material covering called the body. So through chanting mantra, you actually revive your spiritual consciousness. You actually can feel how you're a spiritual being, not just theoretically. You can actually experience it practically. When you become more, the deeper you go into the chanting, you actually feel your spiritual identity coming awakened, you see. Identifying with the gross material body is like being a caterpillar, and realizing your spiritual identity is like a butterfly, you see. The caterpillar, he morphs into a butterfly. So by this chanting process, the ugly caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly, you see. And that enlightened being who sees everything qualitatively one with the Supreme, with God, he becomes full of love. He becomes very peaceful, very happy, very intelligent person also, very artistic, beautiful, poetic person, naturally. Becomes a great contribution to the world situation. We need more and more enlightened people on this planet, you see. Because the more you have enlightened people walking around, even doesn't mean they stop doing what they're doing. They can remain doctors, lawyers, computer programmers, politicians, movie stars, whatever. You can remain, as Arjuna, remain in his position. So one who becomes enlightened in the spiritual consciousness, he can remain in his occupation. But now he's acting in a different consciousness. He's seeing everything in relationship with the Supreme. He's not seeing things separated from the Supreme. He's seeing and experiencing and connecting everything he does with the Supreme. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you can actually connect everything with the Supreme, you're doing the highest service for all living entities at every minute. So we need to create a whole generation of enlightened beings on this planet, and that's what we're trying to do. That's why I'm traveling all over the world, trying to help create a new generation of enlightened beings who can make this place a beautiful heavenly atmosphere all over the world. We can do it. We can do it. But we have to start right here, you see. Revolutionize your consciousness, and then you can revolutionize the world, you see. It starts right here. So I'm absolutely delighted to see so many of you here tonight wanting to elevate your consciousness, come to a higher understanding of reality than what is doled out to us in our material upbringings. You see? Actually, the ancient text, the Srimad Bhagavatam, says, you should not be a teacher. You should not be a parent. You should not be a leader. You should not take any kind of leadership capacity unless you can deliver those whom you are influencing from the cycle of birth and death. So this is what we need in the world. We're trying to create a new class of leaders, enlightened leaders who understand how it is we're caught up in birth and death and how we can get out of this wheel of samsara, returning to our original natures beyond time and space. If we have such leaders in all fields, political, social, economic, educational, artistic, in every field we can have such leaders, you see, this world will become so wonderful. All this anxiety and fear, all this hatred and this killing and this cruelty that's going on ever increasingly will be finished. We will live together in a peaceful, loving family all over the world. So there's some papers passed around. If you have any questions, feel free to note them down. And I'll try to answer the questions. I'm very happy to be here in this room. This is Prabhupada's room. when he was here, when he visited the UK, this was where he lived. So it's a very special, we call this a holy dham. Dham means abode. It's a holy dham. It's a sacred place of pilgrimage. I've come all the way from America to be here in this place of pilgrimage. Just flew in this morning. So it's a very special place here to be in Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada's a very powerful spiritual master. He's called Prabhupada. It means the master at whose feet the masters sit. He's a very, very powerful spiritual master. Even though he's physically departed in 1977 from this world, through his disciples and his grand disciples, his movement is going on, expanding more and more all over the world to bring in this new era of enlightened consciousness, so that everyone can become happy, everyone can become peaceful, everybody become free from anxiety and illusion, confusion, delusion, swimming in a profusion of transcendental bliss. So any questions? Yes. Someone could be my hearing aid. I'm a deaf man, so.
How to overcome our behavioral problems.
How to overcome our behavioral problems.
Keep on recurring.
If somebody was
who is becoming enlightened,
they'll actually naturally go away.
It would just naturally go away.
It happens naturally. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You don't need to go to... All you need is a guru. You don't need a psychiatrist. If you have a guru, that everything follows automatically. Your intelligence becomes... you become super intelligent. Your mind becomes completely peaceful. And you become even more healthy. Even your body becomes... Even you become radiant. You become... It's like back in the 60s and early 70s when Prabhupada started his movement, he said all these hippies, they were gloomy faced, but now they become bright. Actually, one clergyman, he noted, oh, these boys and girls, they're coming from Jewish families and Christian families. They were not very bright faced. But now, how is it they've all become so bright faced? So, you become intelligent, your mind becomes peaceful, and even physically you become radiant when you follow the pathway of the, as described in Bhagavad Gita, this ancient text. It happens automatically. You may have some relationship problems or, you know, so many things, so many problems we have, but they all get adjusted. Because now you develop transcendental vision. You see everything in relationship with the Supreme Being. You see everything in relationship. In other words, there's nothing outside of the scope of this transcendental consciousness. Because everything that exists is simply a manifestation of the Supreme. Every person, every event, every place, everything that exists within all of reality is simply a manifestation of the Supreme Person. So once you harmonize with the Supreme Person, then automatically you're harmonized with everything. It's like your body, for example. Let's say you have a cut on your finger and you need some nutritional value to heal the cut on your finger. So do you take some rice and rub it on the wound? No, you feed your belly. And then automatically that hand gets the nourishment it needs to heal the skin. So when you feed your belly, every single part of your body becomes nourished. So when you connect yourself with the Supreme, with God, or with Krishna, as we say, or the Muslims would say with Allah, or the Christians would say with Christ, or the Heavenly Father, when you connect yourself with the Supreme, then everything becomes perfectly adjusted. So it's one-stop shopping. Any other questions? Does that answer your question? Any other questions? Okay. Some people, most people, are attracted by the impersonal form of the Lord. Why? Well, a lot of what we call religion in the world today is not really religion. We see people have this fanatical devotion to a certain divinity, but they don't. We don't see that they're loving. They're not loving people. You see. So that turns us off. Some people say Allah is the only way, Jesus is the only way. So we get turned off by this idea of a personal God because of that. Because you see there's a divisiveness in that. We don't see that there's a unification principle in the personal conception of God, the way it's taught to us by mundane religionists. The personal conception becomes a dividing factor. You know, my way is the only way, you're going to hell, this kind of a thing. So, therefore, the impersonal idea is attractive. And it's actually good up to a person, it's actually a good beginning step sometimes to help one come out of this sectarian concept of religion. But the impersonal concept is limited. It's actually logical because you're a person, aren't you? Are you a person? Is anybody here not a person? Is it? If I tell you, you're not, actually, Richard Dawkins says we're not persons, we're just machines, we're just robots. But I don't buy it. That proves that I'm a person, because I don't buy his stupid philosophy. You see? So we're not robots, we're actual persons. You experience that you're a person, don't you? If I tell you you're not a person, you'd be offended. That proves you're a person. You see? So, where do persons come from? If I tell you, well, I have a mine, and we're getting so much mine out of that mine, so much gold out of that mine every day, but the mine doesn't have any gold in it, you'll think I'm a crazy idiot. What do you mean? You can't get gold out of a goldless gold mine. So in the same way, there's an existential mind from which everything is coming. And that, since persons are coming out of that existential mind, therefore the existential mind must possess personality. And if it possesses personality, it must indeed not be an it, must be a person. So, when you understand the personality of God, or the personality of Godhead, scientifically, then it becomes a very beautiful concept, a very liberating concept. When you understand that Supreme does not have one name, he's not just Christ or Allah or Jehovah, but he has actually unlimited names, because he's a source of everything, he must be unlimited. He has millions and billions of names. The beauty of it is this. Does anybody here want to live in a world without love? No, we don't. We all desire love. We want to have loving reciprocation. So, if there's no supreme person, then basically it's a loveless existence. But if there's a supreme person, then love can exist all the way on every level of reality, love exists. And that's what the Bhakti Yoga system is. It's a system of divine love, perfect love, connecting your love with the Supreme Person, and thereby connecting it with every living being who is part and parcel of that Supreme Person. So the attraction of the impersonal form is good in the beginning. It helps you to get free of the sectarian idea of spirituality as something sectarian. It's good in that sense. But it's limited because you can't, unless you can learn to love on the spiritual platform, you go back to the material platform again and look for love, where you can't, where we're always disappointed. So it can be a good stepping stone, but ultimately we have to go beyond the impersonal conception. The impersonal conception is automatically included. The personal realization is called Bhagavan realization. And within Bhagavan realization, the impersonal realization is automatically included. The impersonalists realize the eternal aspect of the Supreme. The devotees, they realize the personal aspect of the Supreme and the impersonal along with it. So you don't lose the impersonal realization. You have that along with the higher understanding of the personal nature of God.
Stepping stone for spiritual realization, but at the same time it can make us impersonal, that we do not know how to relate with anybody.
Yeah. This is my wife, by the way, Vishnupriya Devi Das, and my constant companion. But yeah, if we don't know how to love God, it'll be difficult to love each other also, it's a fact. And so the impersonal philosophy is limited. So what is the spiritual difference between spiritual happiness and material happiness? Material happiness is temporary and spiritual happiness is eternal. Materially, sometimes we're happy, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. It's like on a merry-go-round, up and down, around and around, up and down. You see, material happiness, you can't always have it. You have it sometimes, then you become elated, you become depressed. It's not permanent. But spiritual happiness is constant. Through the ups and downs of material happiness, spiritual happiness is always there. So therefore, spiritual happiness is superior. Okay. Is Maya the creation of Krishna or the creation of our minds? Because we desired to be an illusion, therefore Krishna gave it to us. So it's actually it's there because of our desire. Because we wanted to be illusion and thinking that I am the Supreme, therefore Krishna gave us that illusion to satisfy us. An example is this. A little girl, she looks out the window, she sees the moon. She says, oh! She's always asked her mother when she wants something, Mommy, can you give me a doll? Can you give me this? Mother always gave her what she wanted. So she looks out the window, she sees the moon. She's, oh, Mommy, Mommy, give me, give me. You see? So can the mother give the moon? No. But she can give the illusion of the moon. She gives the daughter a mirror, you see? And in that mirror, she's now holding the moon in her hand. Oh, thank you, Mommy. You see? Thank you, you've given me that. So the desire, who created the illusion? You see? The daughter desired the moon, so the illusion was given that you hold and now possess the moon. How to lead a practical life while following on the spiritual path. You have to, it's very simple. You set aside a time every morning. Don't stay up late. Go to bed early. As our American philosopher Benjamin Franklin said, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So follow old Ben Franklin. Go to bed early, get up early, and have a wonderful meditation. You know, chant the names of God, chant Hare Krishna, read some scripture like Bhagavad Gita. Have your time where the material world doesn't matter anymore. This is more important than anything I'm going to do the whole day. I'm going to connect with God. I'm going to fully go into a state of meditation, be fully connected with God now for a half an hour, whatever you can spare. Do that every day. And then when you hit the traffic jam, it won't look the same. You see? It'll be like a mystical aura to the whole thing. You'll see it now in a whole new consciousness. This is the energy of God. You'll see everything in relationship with the Supreme, with Krishna or God. And you won't be disturbed by it anymore. You'll see this is a purpose. Everybody's working through their karma. There's an opportunity to get out of this karma. And now by the grace of Guru and Krishna, I have found this way to get out of the karma chakra. And look at all these other poor souls. Oh, they're agitated. They're honking the horn. They're agitated. But I'm in bliss. I'm just thinking of how everything is relationship with God and how this human form of life is for going back to God. And now I found the pathway how to get there, and I'm blissing out every day. On my part, I have gained a certain level of consciousness. However, I had a moment of doubt in my faith and soul. I feel I'm going back to a sleep state. Can we lose our consciousness? Well, the good news is this. Every time you engage in activities of transcendence, like chanting the mantras or studying scripture or coming to a holy place like this temple, you actually make tangible spiritual progress. Every time you do that, every time you think about Krishna or their God, every time you eat sacred foodstuffs which have been offered to the Lord, you make tangible spiritual progress, which will never be taken away by anything. There's no investment in this material world like that, where you can make an investment. You always risk losing everything in this material world. And at the time of death, we do lose everything. Everything we've accumulated is finished. Every degree I got, every recognition I got, it's all finished. But whatever spiritual progress you have made, even if you slip away from your practice for a while, you get distracted, when you come back, you picked up where you left off. You don't go back to square one again. Wherever you left off, you pick up at that point. So this is very much the most worthwhile thing we can do with our lives, and that's to advance ourselves in realization of God the Supreme. Because whatever time and energy, every minute of time and energy you put into this, it's never lost. So just keep investing your time and energy as much as you can in your daily life, and gradually those assets will accumulate more and more and more. And that day will come when you can actually see God face to face. The Lord will reveal himself to you. You'll directly see the Supreme Person face to face. We have about 5 minutes left. Any more questions?
Thank you. You mentioned that the benefits are never lost, but it seems that sometimes someone can be very spiritually high, and then they come to a point where they're back to doing the same habits they were doing previously.
Yeah, that happens. So one may fall back into one's previous habits. That's a fact. And we see that sometimes they become so ecstatic, but then they just get carried away by their previous habits. They go back into it and become completely miserable. And they know they're miserable. And they are miserable, yeah. But when they come back to their practice, they pick up where they left off. That's my point. It's just like they have the assets, but their bank account is frozen by the government. They can't. When you fall off the pathway, your account is frozen. You don't have access to that spiritual bliss anymore. But when you again resume the pathway, then you picked up where you left off. So it's not that one takes up the pathway and then he deviates, but he keeps his spiritual bliss. No, the spiritual bliss goes away. When your spiritual practice goes away, your spiritual bliss goes away. You become miserable. But that misery is a blessing. It teaches you a very good lesson. Wow, just see. I was chanting every day and it was so blissful. But then I thought, why am I doing this chanting? Let me give it up. And then see the difference. How miserable you are when you don't practice it. That's actually very good. That increases your conviction. Yeah, when I chant, I'm so blissful. When I don't chant, it's not the same. So let me keep chanting. So in this way, one can even utilize the downs to go up, you see. An expert businessman, no matter what the market is doing, his business is expanding, you see. If the prices go up, he sells. If the prices go down, he buys. So in this way, a transcendentalist, He may have he has his ups and his downs, but he uses all of them to advance his spiritual consciousness. In this way, he becomes very, very successful and very powerful in spiritual life by utilizing everything, the ups and the downs, to advance himself in Krishna consciousness, in spiritual awakening. This process works. What Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, it works, but you have to work the process. If you don't work the process, it won't work. But if you work the process will work for you in amazing, powerful ways that will completely blow your mind. Completely blow your mind. How is such a state of consciousness possible? Wow, this is amazing. I never dreamed I could taste this kind of happiness. But now I'm here, I'm tasting it. And I can share it with the whole world. So, I've got about 60 seconds. I just want to thank you all. I'm just absolutely delighted that so many of you come tonight in such a nasty weather. So wonderful. I'm grateful to every one of you. I'm grateful to each and every one of you for being here tonight. And I want to thank you, each and every one of you, from the depths of my heart. I want to thank you very, very much for coming here tonight. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So now we have some special sweets from protected cows.